We now begin a whole new Masechta, Maseches Yoma, and I'm choosing not to do an introduction to this Masechta because I think the basic topics are rather familiar. Just a moment of introduction. The word Yoma, or probably more correctly pronounced Yuma, refers to the day, as in the big day of Yom Kippur, which is so central to Jewish life, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, certainly especially so, but to affect Kapara and the specialness of the day, what's happening over there, and the uniqueness of the day, what the Kohen Gadol did. Those are referenced in the day Yuma, the big day. The structure of the Masechta is 8 prakim. The first 7 prakim talk about the avodah that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, focused mostly on what's going on unique to the day of Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, and we have the special incense offering brought inside of the Kodesh Kodashim. We have the special karbonos that are to atone for the Jewish people, for the Kohen and for his family, as well as for the Kohanim. We have the Sir LaAzazel. So those unique karbanos are explored in the Masechta, but the Masechta is quite expansive and goes off topic a number of times to talk about other similar issues around the functioning of the Beis HaMikdash and how the different karbanos worked. The 8th and final chapter is the chapter which deals with the topics of Yom Kippur which are more familiar to us nowadays. That is to say, we talk about the Chamesh Inuyim, the 5 afflictions, or ways in which one impoverishes his physical self, his body, to allow his soul to shine through on the big day, as well as the topics of tshuva and kapara. Okay, so now we begin Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Maseches Yoma. The Mishnah starts out by saying, Shivas Yamim Kodom Yom Kippurim, 7 days before the beginning of Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mebeiso Lelishkas Palhedrin. We separate the Kohen Gadol, removing him from his house, and we put him into a place in the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Lishkas Palhedrin, the king's appointee's chamber. Now, what's happening here is we have two separate things. One thing is that there's a requirement to remove the Kohen Gadol from his home and have him live inside the Beis HaMikdash for these 7 days. This is a mitzvah all to itself. It's based on the psukim that's learned out around Aaron HaKohen and his being separated and leaving his home during the Yemei Meluim, these 7 days, the inaugural days of the Mishkan. And it's learned out from there that the same way Aaron moved out of his home in the time of the Mishkan, originally when it's being set up in the desert, the Midbar, so too the Kohen Gadol should come out of his home, his physical home, and move into the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days leading up to Yom Kippur. That's a requirement, but it's not a ma'akeh, meaning if the Kohen Gadol didn't do it for whatever reason, that alone would not make him invalid to do the service on Yom Kippur. The second reason why we're separating the Kohen Gadol from Beiso is because Beiso is actually a double entendre and refers to both his physical home, his house, Bais, as well as his wife, who's also referred to as Bais, as the Mishnah itself will say explicitly in a few moments. And here we're saying that he separates from his wife for those 7 days, which means when the Kohen Gadol moves into the Beis HaMikdash, his wife certainly is not moving with him. His wife's staying back home in his physical home. And the reason for that is because we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol could end up becoming Tamei from exposure to his wife. The main concern is that the wife could end up becoming a Nida when he doesn't know it, and then he could have the status of being a Boal Nida, and then he could become Tamei for 7 days. There's no way to become Tamei in less than 7 days for a Boal Nida, and that being the case, we separate him 7 days ahead of time to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, we say it goes to Lishkas Palhedrin. So originally this chamber was called the Lishkas Balvate, which means the chamber for, you know, the very Sarim Nechbadim, the royal ministers, the chashuv, important people. But during the Second Temple period, it became the practice that people who wanted to become the Kohen Gadol could buy their way in by paying the local authorities for the right to be the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the rabbis changed the name from Lishkas Balvati, the chamber for the, you know, honorable servants, to being Lishkas Palhedrin, which means something like the chamber for the appointee of the king. So, fine. That's Lishkas Palhedrin. Umesaknin lo Kohen Acher Tachtav. They established for him another Kohen beneath him. This is an understudy, if you will. That is to say, we have the person who's known as the Sagan Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol, the number 2 Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, in the hierarchy. So, this person is set as, so to speak, an understudy, the same way you have, like in the theater, you have the lead actor, and then you have his understudy. So there's an understudy, if you will, for the Kohen Gadol. Shemi Erebo Psul, lest the Kohen Gadol himself, for some reason, becomes invalid and can't do the avoda at the last minute, we have someone standing in the ready to do it. So what does that mean? That means since he is tachtav, he's in his place as like the understudy. Let's say, for example, if there are different, we'll have a separate set of golden vestments, clothing that is special for the Kohen Gadol to work in on Yom Kippur. We'll have a separate one set for him and made to his size, just in case we need him for Yom Kippur. Similarly, we'll train him in the, I'll call it the choreography of the day, all the different activities and how to perform the different rites on Yom Kippur. So he's ready to go. And the fact that it says Misaknin Lo as opposed to Mafrishin Lo tells us that we're not actually the understudy, the Sagan, the stand-in, doesn't have to leave home. He can stay at home. He's just at the ready in case we need him. And therefore, although he wouldn't have separated from his home the 7 days prior to the Avoda, I said before, that's really not a Ma'akev. It's not an Isser. After the fact, it's not going to make it so he can't do the Avoda. So he'll be our backup if we need a backup plan. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Misaknin Lo. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do we get a understudy from the Sagan Kohan, so from the deputy Kohen, we also get a second wife for our Kohen Gadol. That is to say, that the Kohen Gadol is going to marry a second woman, just in case. Why is that necessary? Because Shema Tamus Ishto, maybe his first wife, meaning his primary, his wife, will die, and we need her, because Shenamar, the Pasuk says, when referring to the Kohen Gadol doing his confession and getting atonement for himself, so he says that the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso, he gets atonement for him and his household, and beso zu ishto, when it says beso, it means his wife, which means he needs to have a wife, according to the Pasuk, to also get atonement for besides for him. So therefore, we need to have the Kohen Gadol having a wife, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it could happen that our man, the Kohen Gadol, his wife could die, and then we don't have time to get a new one. He can't marry someone then and there because it's Aser Midrabanan to get married on Yom Kippur or Shabbos. So if she dies on Yom Kippur, let's say that night, so we'll have no one. He won't be able to function, do the avoda because of the pasuk, which requires him to get atonement for him and his wife. So we need a second wife also, just in case the first one dies. Amrulo. So the Chacham say back to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if we take that approach, Ein Ladavar Sof, then there's no end to the precautions, because maybe that second wife will also die. Maybe he needs to have three wives, and that goes ad infinitum. He could have 1,000 wives, and they could all die. He needs 1,001 wives. So therefore, the Chacham rejected Rabbi Yehuda's shita. We do not require the Kohen Gadol to marry a second wife just in case, and that will be the din. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says you can't compare those two cases. He says, for someone to die, that, while is unlikely to happen, these things happen. People die, and maybe the Kohen Gadol's wife will indeed die. So we need to have a plan B. As far as two separate women dying, that's already super unlikely, super far out, and therefore we don't need to be concerned for that possibility. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, a second wife, meaning one backup, is reasonable. More than that is unnecessary. But the halacha is like the Chachamim, which is no backup wives at all are required, just the Kohen Gadol being separated from his own home and wife for 7 days.